Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Here we are, 12 days into our Lenten pilgrimage. It was 12 days ago that we were invited to the discipline of Lent, and it was 12 days ago that many of us were marked with ashes in the sign of the cross on our forehead, remembering that from dust we came, and to dust we shall return. And here, almost exactly in the middle of Mark's gospel, Jesus tells his followers what it will look like to follow him. They must take up their cross. For those of us who have been marked with the cross in our baptism, for those of us this side of Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection, we hear Jesus' words much differently than the original hearers of Mark's gospel would have heard them. For the disciples and for the first century followers of Jesus, death on a cross was a form of execution used for criminals. A criminal would carry their own cross to the site of their execution as a sign of submission to Roman power and oppression. Death on a cross was incredibly shameful. It was horrifying, it was torturous, it was humiliating, and absolutely excruciating. But for us, this side of Jesus' death and resurrection, the cross is but a symbol. Every church has one beautifully carved out of wood or of brass. We all have different jewelry. We have necklaces and earrings and rings and pins, and some of them ornate and some of them simple. But we have made the cross beautiful. And I think in doing so, we have lost a lot of what Jesus means when he says, "Take up my cross and follow me." Jesus didn't offer for his disciples then or now to just take up a symbol. He called them and us to take up our cross, an excruciating, shameful, horrifying symbol of death. And what he's really calling us to is to be so absolutely committed to a life of discipleship, following the way of Jesus, that we are completely willing to offer all that we have and all that we are to following Jesus. This is the truth of Jesus' words. But we, just like Peter, we don't want it to be the truth. Very clearly, Jesus told his disciples that he would undergo great suffering and rejection by the religious and political authorities of his day and be killed. He also said that after 3 days he would be raised again, but I think they were so stunned and shaken that they may not have even heard that part of what Jesus has said, because the words suffering, rejection, and being killed shook them to their very core. And Peter didn't want any of it. Peter wanted Jesus to be King of Kings, the suffering servant that Isaiah prophesies and that Jesus describes in this passage, he describes himself to be. Peter didn't want it. He had expectations of what he wanted the Messiah to be, and Jesus did not meet those expectations. In fact, Jesus did not meet the expectations of most people in his lifetime. And if we are honest with ourselves as 21st century American Christians, Jesus doesn't meet our expectations either. And certainly the life of self-sacrificing discipleship for the sake of our neighbor isn't the life of discipleship that we want either. Listen to this poem by Stuart Henderson called Splintered Messiah. I don't want a splintered Messiah in a sweat-stained, greasy robe. I want a new one. I couldn't take this one to parties. People would say, "Who's your friend?" And I'd give an embarrassed giggle and change the subject. If I took him home, I'd have to bandage his hands because the neighbors would think he's a hooligan. I don't want his cross in the hall. It doesn't go with the wallpaper. I don't want him standing there like a sad ballet dancer with holes in his tights. I want a different Messiah, streamlined and inoffensive. I want one from a catalog, who's as quiet as a monastery. I want a package tour Messiah, not one who takes me to Golgotha. I want a King of Kings with blow waves in his hair. I don't want the true Christ. I want a false one. No one wanted or expected a suffering and dying Messiah to deliver them from Roman oppression. But this is what Jesus taught, and it's who he was. Like Peter, we don't like what Jesus teaches all the time, and we don't always like who Jesus is. We don't want our Messiah to suffer and to be vulnerable. We don't want to suffer and be vulnerable. The call to discipleship involves self-sacrifice, dying to self, and taking up our cross, just as Jesus did. Our minds are to be set on godly things, not on human things. This is the kind of discipleship that Jesus called his disciples to, and it's the kind of discipleship that he calls us to today. Our permissive, commercialized society says, indulge yourself. And Jesus says, deny yourself. Our selfish nature says, avoid pain at whatever cost. And Jesus calls us to take up our cross. We so easily do our own things and demand our own individual rights. And Jesus calls us to lay down our life, to lose it, and to follow him. The good news, brothers and sisters, is that we do not have to figure this out on our own, and we don't have to do it on our own. In baptism, by water and God's word, we are joined to Christ, to all of him, including the parts that we want to overlook, his suffering and death on a cross. We are marked with the cross of Christ, and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, who gives us our new identity in Christ. We are given the Holy Spirit to sustain us in God's grace as we grow into our baptismal identity as God's children throughout our whole life. This gift is given to us by God in faith. Martin Luther said that the cross alone is our theology. The cross, a symbol of death and shame, pain and suffering and humiliation. The cross we are marked with in our baptism. The cross we are called to carry our whole lives long in the life of discipleship. Being a follower of Christ is dying and rising. It's denying ourselves and confessing Christ. It's losing in order to win and dying in order to live. I know this isn't the way that the world chooses to live, and it's not the way that we would choose to live, but it's the way that we are called to live. There's no promise in the life of faith that if we follow Christ, we will not have to be vulnerable, that we will not have to suffer, that we will not have hardship. But the promise we have, and the promise that God always keeps, is that Christ is with us in the midst of everything we go through. We do not endure anything alone, because God emptied God's very self into Christ for us. And Christ not only suffers for us, but Christ suffers with us. Thanks be to God. Amen.